It's listener-supported KUOW. I'm Bill Radke. President Trump has removed federal protections allowing students to use bathrooms and locker rooms that reflect their gender identities. Well, here in Washington State, that doesn't have any legal impact, at least not yet. We have our own statewide law that allows students to make those decisions. My next guests are following all of this closely. Layla Gaysar and Fred Annex Schnaus are trans teens going to school here in King County. They say even with state protections in place, it's never been easy for them to use the bathroom or locker room at school. Fred told me what that looks like.
When I was in high school, before I switched into doing the Running Start program, I was a lot more involved in school athletics. And that meant that every day I was changing at school. And we didn't have all gender bathrooms. So the nurse's office bathroom was the one that I was told that I was allowed to use. And that means walking through the nurse's office, often when they're with a patient, going in there to use the bathroom. And there was a lot of gatekeeping in my daily life when I just needed to go to the bathroom. And the same thing with sports. I wasn't always able to access the playing field because I didn't have a place to change, or I wasn't able to go to the bathroom before a big meet. And just really basic things like that. I've noticed that myself and a lot of other transgender people, like, regardless of what the law books are saying, every single time that I need to pee, I will be doing calculations to figure out where I can safest do that and where I cannot make other people feel uncomfortable, and like how far I can walk across the campus before I'm missing half my class to go to the bathroom.
You mentioned confrontations, Fred. Can you give us a typical example of what kind of confrontation happens?
The most typical is someone looking at me and being like, "You're in the wrong place." But more often than not, there's weird looks. Sometimes people will come up really close to me and try to figure out maybe like what my body is, when that absolutely has nothing to do with going to the bathroom. And sometimes, like, there have been people who stand facing me in the bathroom and ask, like, "What are you doing here? Why are you here? And what is the easiest way that I can get you out of here?" and threaten violence.
Will you explain what you mean by going to the bathroom having nothing to do with them wanting to know about your body? Because first blush, they're thinking that the two have everything to do with each other.
Yeah, I think that this whole discussion of bathrooms is often about transgender people's bodies. But it is more about, like, we can figure out where we're going to be able to go to the bathroom. And it's more about other people having that curiosity, that kind of part of a lot of discussions about people being transgender is that curiosity and entitlement to knowing what my genitals are and what's under my shirt. And that's just simply not something that any other demographic of teenager is generally asked when they need to pee.
Layla, what's your take on the bathroom, locker room experience?
With my own experiences, before I even enter the bathroom, I've often been asked, "Which bathroom do you use?" And while this seems like an innocent question, it's often it's kind of dog whistle for, "What's your genitalia? How can I, like, gender you in my mind so I can understand?
What are you?" That kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Once you know, I also get with race. What are you? What are you actually?
You have Iranian background.
Yeah. And when I enter the bathroom, I've been confronted in both male and female bathrooms. I recently, in the past year, I gained a lot of weight, but before then, I very much actually passed for a cisgender male. And so when I would go into female bathrooms, often I would get asked, "What are you doing here? Get out." Now I kind of just don't care. I'm privileged in that way, I think, to not care, since I live in a very liberal city.
You've both been gracious to talk about bathrooms and locker rooms, the subject of many initiatives and pronouncements. What do you want to say about the modern trans non-binary experience that is important? Fred?
I think that some of the most pressing things that need to be addressed right now are looking at LGBT youth homelessness and looking at the high murder rates of transgender people and the amount of, like, grief that's in our communities that's not being talked about, not being addressed. And every single year for the Transgender Day of Remembrance for the last, like, 4 or 5 years, I've compiled the statistics, and it's alarming. About 300 transgender women a year are killed in the U.S. and many more than that in the whole world. And I think that there's a lot more intersections and complexity that need to be looked at to understand how race and ability and police and all of these things are playing into the large amount of harm that's being done.
Often when people talk about violence against trans people, they often ignore the fact that it is almost entirely towards Black and Latina trans women of color. And so I think recognizing that that is a problem and recognizing that race and misogyny do have a part to play in trans hate crimes is a big step, because I often see, you know, white trans men dominating discussions about transphobia, which is not the most productive thing, because statistically they are not the primary targets and they are not the people that are being actively murdered.
Anything to add, Fred, about this problem of race and gender identity?
Yeah, I think that Layla said it wonderfully. Like, looking at base in Seattle, like you mentioned Seattle earlier, looking at queer spaces and transgender spaces, like, it already comes up as an issue. There's a lot of racism in the community and a lot of lack of spaces and lack of spaces where we can all be together because of racism in our community. And looking at all the complex issues and the, like, multitude of things that the transgender community is facing, there is no way to deny that racism plays into it. Racism and trans misogyny are, like, primary things that are causing harm to the transgender community as a whole.
Some people might be surprised to hear that racism would be a problem in the trans community, because there's this idea of, oh, if anybody could be able to accept differences. And you're kind of rolling your eyes. What's your take?
There's often this thing that I've seen happen, especially in Seattle, where people, like, check off the inclusion box by being like, I have an identity that's marginalized, and now I can't marginalize other people. But that's just simply not true.
What's your take, Layla?
I have talked with many other trans people of color, and it is definitely a problem. I think that people view the trans community as accepting, or possibly can't comprehend the idea of a trans person of color, is because the face of trans people in the media is often white. And of course, we as a population don't generally see many intersections of identity in the media. For example, like, a lot of people don't know that, like, you can be gay and trans and a person of color and disabled, etc. And so people don't understand how privilege can work in different ways, like Fred said.
You've gotten to know one another a little bit through this conversation. Are there any questions that you have for one another that are not my questions?
You seem to have quite a bit more experience with LGBT plus spaces than I do. What are the pros and cons to often being in spaces that are primarily LGBT?
Fred, will you give examples of what spaces we're talking about so everybody knows?
Yeah, I'm involved with a LGBTQ youth summer camp, and I do some work for a Equity Resource Center, and I've done some other panel type peer education things. And in all of those communities, some of the themes that I see are that kind of the way we've been talking this whole time, but that identity checkbox, being in community with people, can be really challenging when we're thinking about people as checkboxes. And I also think that ageism is a big part of what I've experienced. Youth don't have access to a lot of the spaces that transgender people are allowed to be in as a community and allowed to find shared identity in. And so I think that one thing that I'd really like to see in our communities is to be able to think about how youth are powerful and know a lot and have a lot of different experiences and lenses for the world that are just untapped. And there's a lot of things that we can learn from each other.
Layla, do you have any sense of a direction that we're going with trans issues in this country?
I don't know what's going to happen in the next few years. I do think we are a very resilient community. We've put up with a lot in the past. This isn't our, like, first time in the rodeo, some would say, but I do think it's not going to be easy. Recognizing that is, like, the first step to staying strong.
I always have been an optimist. I would love to think that in the future we'll learn to listen to each other and we'll learn how to hold each other better in community. But in the short term, I'm not sure what's going to happen. And I think that this unsurety is one of the hardest things to sit with. I would love to see change and to see people stop policing transgender bodies and trans lives, and to remember that we've always existed and will continue to exist. And I agree with what Layla said, like, resiliency is something that gives me a lot of hope. As a trans youth, a lot of what I saw and what I learned was that I was supposed to be tragic, and I was supposed to have a tragic story and see my life expectancy as no later than 25 and expect violence and expect to be treated in a subhuman way. And I think that portraying our community as successful and complicated and lovely and surreal and all of the complex things that humans are gives a lot more space for hope and a lot more space for transgender youth to find ways to be successful and loved.
Leila Gaysar and Fred Anik Schnaus are non-binary trans teens from King County. You know, I mentioned that Washington State, by law, allows students to use bathrooms and locker rooms that reflect their gender identities. But there is a Washington State group gathering signatures right now for an initiative that would repeal that law.